He goes, I think figure out how to call somebody. I'm like, I don't got nobody to call, man. Nobody answers the phone anyways. Most people I call are my parents, you know, so I'm like, ah, whatever. I'm short time, so people want to get in contact with me, they can get in contact with me, you know what I mean? I got 90 days before I go home, hopefully, so they can wait that long if they wait these last four years.
Yeah, we've been worried about you on the show when we found out.
Oh, yeah.
Because we talk about it. We're like, so, you know, so Bobby like lays out what's going on, and then I'm like, so you think Toro might flop? And they're like, and you know, he's like, oh, yeah, I don't know. He didn't do this. He should do this, and he's got this goddamn class. And then he explains to the audience like how fucked up it is that you can't go to the class, even though you have to have the class, and you know, it could be hit your ERD and you still don't, you know, it's fucked up.
Yeah, I was nervous. I was nervous for a little bit because I was I was at a different prison when I first came down. And at that prison, whatever classes you take, you need to take to go home, they get you in those classes, I mean, 2 years before you're supposed to go home, so you get them done and over with. Well, I left that prison and came to this prison, and then I found out here, they make you wait for so long. I ended up taking the class, my VPP class, and we started in September, and I had to go through the pro board in December.
Wait. VPP, Violence Prevention Program?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So I started in September. We had maybe 1 or 2 weeks into the class. The teacher they said he got in a car accident, which I think he did. So the teacher gets in a car accident. They didn't find a replacement for him, but for all his other classes, they found replacements for, except for our class. So the teacher gets in a car accident. They postpone our class, and then after like 3 weeks, they say, you know what? You guys' class has been canceled, and we stopped getting, like, they're called call-outs. It's like a schedule for us when we're supposed to be at. So they canceled our call-outs, and now at this point, it was like mid-November. And I'm like, well, shit, man. I got to go see the parole board in 2 weeks, and I don't have this fucking class done. And so I'm like, oh, I was stressing over it, man. I was getting nervous. I'm like, they're gonna fight because I don't have this class. And it's not and I can't do anything because it's not my fault that I'm not going to the class because this teacher got in a wreck and shit like that. So I go through the parole board. As you know, I felt like shit when I went and seen him. I remember talking last time, you know what I mean? I felt like shit. And then let's see, when did they move? After that, Christmas went by, New Year's went by, and then I think, like, was it the first or second week of January, then I had heard this rumor that they're going to start classes again mid-January, but they're moving everybody who need to take the class to a different unit, and then that's what happened about a month ago. They moved me over to where I'm at now, to a different unit. I restarted the class. We've been going to class for about 3 weeks now. And then this fucking little scabies outbreak hit, and now that pushed the class back another 2 weeks. So a 3 month class that we were supposed to get done in November of last year got canceled, postponed, and then restarted, and then postponed again. And it's a pain in the ass, man. It pushes your patience so much, and it really tests you, you know, because you can't do nothing about it. You have no say in the matter, and it's all up to these people who run the administration here and at the prison and the parole board. It's all up to them to let you go home. And if they don't let you take your class, you don't go home. You know, it's nerve-wracking.
Right. It's like everything else in your life. You have no control over it. And now you can do everything right, but still be locked up past your ERD.
Yeah. Yeah. I could do everything right. I could get the class done. I haven't caught no tickets. I haven't been on LOP and since May of last year. I've been a model prisoner, I guess, you know what I mean, if there is such thing. I haven't been getting in trouble. I stay to myself, and I'll talk to people here and there, and that's it. I don't get no trouble.
Let me ask you this. I got to bring this up.
Yeah.
What would it hurt if the class you need to take is violence prevention program, right? If that's the class you need to take, and you're in prison, right?
Yeah.
What would it hurt if you had that, let's say, in your first year? You know what I mean? You're trying to prevent violence, and you're in prison. Yeah. So, If that helps one, if one stabbing or one face slashing or one fight doesn't happen because inmates took these classes, what would that hurt?
Yeah.
I mean, it could only do if the classes work.
It only
the
does
fuck,
good.
Or are they yeah, pretty much admitting? Or are they pretty much admitting the class is all bullshit and it's just state mandated and it doesn't fucking yeah. help anybody? Because that's kind of what Parnell is yeah. saying. Like, oh no, you need this
yeah.
just to get out the door. It doesn't really fucking. It's yeah. not gonna. It's not gonna let you know, sissies not get raped or not get beat up or you yeah. know whatever.
Look, this is what I told people. I came to prison, and I knew nothing about, I lived like a sheltered life, right? I didn't know nothing about anything other than me going to work, and that's it. I was a tax-paying American.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Did everything good. I came to prison, I started doing dumb shit, you know what I mean? Getting into fights. I don't know if I can say this out here. Just doing dumb shit, you know what I mean? Shit that I would have never done on the outside. And even Bobby, he goes, you came to prison and became a criminal. I'm like, yeah, essentially, kind of, sorry, yeah, because now I got taught shit in prison. I was like, holy shit, I never knew I could do this before. You know what I mean? And I'm like, well, I fucking learned so much shit in here that I can go out I can get out and do, like, that's kind of hard to say. I don't know if I should stay in here, but.
No, we've talked about yeah, it. We've talked about it openly. Smoked weed, and now you've tried every drug.
I've gotten high and fucking gotten drunk, all kinds of shit, dude. I fucking smoked weed twice when I was on the outside, and I drank a lot, and that was it. I come to prison and start doing other shit, start extorting people and fuck taking money, stealing shit, fucking fighting and shit like that, you know what I mean? And I'm like, and I would have never done that shit if I was on the outside.
Hey,
you know? I had no inclination to do anything, any kind of shit like that.
Okay, this is awkward. I can't. I got to somehow end the phone call with you because Bobby's beeping in.
Hello, this is a prepaid call from.
It's Bobby.
That's what it sounds like when you call me.
A prisoner at the Michigan Department of Corrections.
Hey,
Parnell
but we've been, we're
if
getting looked at
you
by
being
the
victimized
institution.
Or extorted by this prisoner,
so
please
can't have
contact
conference calls,
GPL,
so I can't let you talk to Bobby. So you got
to
hang
855-466-2832.
But call me back whenever.
To accept this call, press 0. To refuse this call,
yeah, you're going to have to
hang
up.
Your current balance is $64.79.
Right, thank you for using GPL.
Welcome to the unpredictability of the MDOC. As soon as I get in, I start to get my shower shit. What's up? What are you? You all done with all the shit you had to do?
What do you mean? Yeah, I'm cool. Over here laying down a program with Toro. I made him hang up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He called?
I didn't want to. Well, since we're being watched by the state now.
Yeah.
I don't want to. You know, I'm like, no, Toro. Listen, now that the institution is aware of this shit, we're not doing no conference calls, so I can't let you talk to Bobby. Yeah. But he's beeping in, so I got to cut you off, dude. Sorry. But call me tomorrow. You know, it's all cool. I guess he's over in 16 block.
Yeah, he is. I told him that to call you at some point. You know what I mean? Have a little.
Well, that's what
he
said.
Did you get anything other than speaking time?
I was like, oh, Bobby must be busy or something if Toro's calling. And then I had to put it all together. Like, oh, no, they didn't even talk to each other since like 4 days ago. So, no.
Mm-hmm. So did you get anything other than sleeping time?
Actually, he was this was maybe his best performance.
Okay. And do the intro with unrehearsed and see how I fumble through it or if I can pull it off. And then I can, I can act like I'm steering the ship. Am I, Dad, can I steer the ship? Let me steer the ship. And I can say it. I can say like I'm at this and you're doing
big
twist with.
I don't. Like, well, I don't have a story to tell. I guess that would have to be for me to have a story.
Yeah, I know. Not really a story to tell, but just me go, hey, we're just kind of doing some shooting the shit stuff like it never hurt. And I set it up. Like, I talked to old fucking Jerry Bear today, and then you can be like, oh, that's not what I meant, or whatever you want to do. You know what I mean? Let me just set up a segment.
All right. You want to set up, can I get the drops ready? For the intro, the intro music?
Yeah. Oh, man. I want to fuck it up now. Now I'm going to be on your goddamn. All right.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize
to absolutely nobody. The double check doesn't mean he wants.
Robert Caldwell, you stand before us today accused of a litany of offences against societal norms, including but not limited to critical thinking, egregious literacy, candid introspection, pacific intentions, gallows humour, and most seriously of all, an abundance of bonhomie. How do you plead, sir?
All subject matter of the preceding podcast is entirely alleged and not admissible in a court of law. A recklessly minimal effort has been taken to change the names and details of any guilty parties. And just in case you rat bastards get any ideas, the hosts of this podcast are notorious and well-documented liars with no legally admissible credibility. This is Mama C, and you're listening to Notes from the Pen podcast. Welcome to prison, bitch.
Welcome to the Prison Industrial Complex. You are listening to the Notes from the Pit podcast. This is your guest captain today, Bobby C. And all I'm trying to do is keep us from railing headlong into a lighthouse or any outcropping rocks. In the boat lake behind me is wearing his captain's hat, drinking a 15-pack, and doing twist flips in the wake is Captain Freddie Schnert.
Getting down in the boat wake. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, we just figured we'd switch it up and just see, you know, as much shit as I give the captain, or used to, before he perfected it like a real professional radio host. It's been so long since I've had to do anything like that. I'm like, can I steer the ship? Can I just for a second? Let me steer. And he's literally, okay, fine. So we just wanted to do that. I like the new intro. I love the Conor McGregor shit. That really gets me hyped. What was it that Neela called?
Gowl.
What's the term for, like, the gowl with a G?
Yeah.
Fucking gowl. Oh, I love the old Conor McGregor and the Ric Flair. But, I was talking to you earlier. It's been a couple of days since we spoke. And as we're kind of talking, we're doing not even our pre-show, just our, like, hey, what's up? What's been going on? I haven't talked to you in 5 days. And you kind of mentioned that you might need to take a hiatus for some, you kind of danced around the edges of, like, you know, I get to looking around the crib, and a lot of the signs, though I might not be feeling like it, actively feeling like it, a lot of the signs are pointing to, am I depressed? And I pointed out, or, you know, a lot of those same signs are being a drunk. And you thought it might be beneficial to take a little, you know, what did I call it? Emotional retreat. Go on an emotional retreat with buddy, a friend of the show and friend in real life, Bulge, out to the west coast of Florida. The old ritzy, fancy, a little nicer, less crazy place of Florida, out there on the west coast.
Yes, and I think that might be thwarted because the Dirty Max is throwing up, dashboard signs that say, you know, pull over immediately and get your brake system repaired. So that's probably going to prevent me from taking a road trip and force me to go get my brakes repaired. Which has kind of been an ongoing issue that I kind of knew about, but I've been kind of putting off.
Well,
but that doesn't mean I couldn't rent a car and go over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
All my truck's
could.
In the shop.
When you mentioned it, we kind of had, not in the moment, but I kind of brought it up to you later when we just talked this afternoon, where there was almost, and I could be totally out of line for it, there was almost felt like there was a tone of you being like, yeah, I don't really feel like too depressed necessarily, but I look around. I think this might be good. But almost like there was like a tone, and I kind of made the clunky analogy of like when I used to call in to work to Germ, to when I worked for you, when I worked for the captain.
With me.
And I'd be like, well, my throat hurts or my ankle, or just, you know, I'd have some sort of thing. And, I'd lean on that, and there was almost a little tone in that, and I brought it up, and you were kind of, I think I might have been a little bit on point, because I guess you were talking to ladies' wear about that before I called a little bit.
Mm, Yeah, but I think you misread the room there. I don't think that was, and I didn't get to tell you this with ladies' wear, and I probably should have, just so you weren't able to shoot off into. If that's what you thought, then you were. I don't think that's what I was doing whatsoever. You know, making an excuse to not record or something. It was more like, hey, we don't know if they're going to be screwed up and shut the phones down again and make you guys go lock up again. So let's hurry up and record something. Oh, by the way, if we could hurry up and do this, well, we could wait till later in the week, but it'd be a lot better to have it in the can now because I might be going to do this. And I still don't know if I'm going to the West Coast or not, but it certainly wasn't a permission asking hey, I'm going to put this out there that I haven't been, feeling great, as far as mental health goes.
Yeah.
That part's true. But that's more due to my sister coming by and making some casual observations and then me and you chatting a little bit. And I will agree that some of the things that are going on over here are absolutely the same things that a degenerate drunkard would have going on over. But I can't help but think that alcohol is a depressant and that if we were going to make a Venn diagram and we were going to just say, okay, somebody with a mental health problem with depression is a circle and somebody who's an alcoholic is a circle, they would probably overlap a little.
Yeah. And I think you're a lot like me in this situation is that after like learning a lot about my addiction and mental health issues, it's getting cold out here. It was immediately clear that the reason I was getting high all the time was because I had mental health issues, and it was like a little cheap way out or a coping mechanism I was using, And so to like separate them is kind of miss the point. You want to go over some of the things, the checklist that kind of got that you kind of ticked off for me earlier that might, if you might be a redneck if you might be a might have mental health issues if your laundry is above your waist. You know what I mean?
Well, but, yeah, first it started with my sister coming over and, kind of taking the temperature of what's going on over here. My sister loves me. My sister's very loving. She's and I love my sister. Yeah, she's great. So she comes over to just pop in and bring her dog. The show might remember Honeybell. And my sister's this type of person. She'll drop off dinner and she'll be like, text me. She'll text at like 3 p.m. or something. And her family eats around 6 or 7. I eat before that usually because I'm pretty wasted and I'm stoned and I'm super hungry and I'm going to pass out soon. So she knows this and she's like, hey, I'm going to stop by at 5. Are you still going to be awake? I'm like, yeah, I think so. Yeah, sure. She stops by, has a full meal. And sis throws down in the kitchen. So, like, whatever, I don't care whatever she wants to bring me, I want. Yeah, she even produced with the Laces. With the nephew prison fudge.
Laying it down.
Yeah, so she brings by a meal, and she's like, hey, you haven't worked in, 8 weeks, 9 weeks? What's going on? I'm like, what do you mean? I haven't worked. I've been staying at the house because of COVID. I'm trying to be the responsible, normal person that you're supposed to be. She's like, when's the last time you didn't work for that long? I'm like, never. What are you talking about? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, ever.
Are you now you're questioning my ego, my identity, like me not work? No. The one thing I know how to do is go to work every goddamn day, no matter what.
Yep.
And she's like, you don't think that has some sort of effect on you? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? Well, she's like, well, that's kind of your peer group. If you kind of are one of these people that identify with what you do every day, and there's got to be tons of people that you would see. And I'm thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, there's all the guys on the dock,
Mary,
right? People like Mary at Publix, and and I totally thought about Donna and Mary immediately. I'm like, yeah, I don't get to spend like tons of time with them, but they're, you go into the back of the grocery store and you kick it with the other workers back there, and there's a whole thing. And then it's not just them. There's a whole series of people, and then
they're part of your life. Even if it's just, not some official thing, you know?
Right, right. But the, yeah, exactly. But if I'm getting rid of, I just got a new refrigerator, so I'm getting rid of this one, and then somebody in that vector of my life is like, oh, I need a beer fridge in my garage, or you're getting rid of your other fridge and it still works? I'm like, yeah, I got to get it the fuck out of here. I don't need it. They're, well, can I have? Well, of course. So then, like, on my day off, I put it in the back of my truck, or they come over and help me put, if it's, you know, like a fridge and it's heavy. You know what I mean? Like, there's a whole networking type thing. So I don't, it, so my sis brings that up. And then my sis is like, and you just also left your political group. So that was like your, you get to talk about things that you're really into and different theories, and you get to learn, you get to present presentations, you get to debate, you get, and she's like, you don't think that probably has a, and so I've been stewing on that for like a week or two, you know, like, damn, sis is probably up to something. I probably need to, you know, I probably need to let that sink in and maybe do a little thinking about it. I probably need some fellowship. Maybe I should get in some Zoom chats. I don't know what's going on, you know. But then I kind of like take inventory of the house, right? And I'm like, this pile of clothes on the floor has been there and hasn't moved like forever. If, and then, oh shit, there's also all this shit over, there's a pile of clothes on this chair. This, I could just throw this shit away. I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing. I've had, you know, 10 weeks off and I've cleaned nothing. What, I've done nothing. I'm wearing the same shirt I was wearing 3 days ago and I haven't showered. Like, these are signs of what you could be correct to point out of degeneracy, or these are signs of depression, or these are some amalgamation of many factors, but yes. So that got me, yeah, I don't know. That just got my antenna up and I was like,
you have 1 minute remaining.
My buddy on the West Coast has got the next couple of days off. Maybe I should just drive over there and play some disc golf with him or take him kayaking.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show, Volch.
Yeah. I'm so, just since we're talking about Sis, the fact that you live close to Sis, and I know Sis, and I was but a boy, and she's just a, me and you got certain parallels in our life, and the fact that we have younger, more responsible, caring sisters is great. And it really makes me worry less about you than I would otherwise. Like, if you, when you plan on moving or just having her there, you know, there's been times where I'm freaking out because I can't get a hold of you, and, you know, the nuclear option is, Mom, call Jeff. Here's her number. I got her number. Just have her go check on them. And, you know, she freaks out, and she gets all scared, but I know she cares about you, and I know she's within bike riding distance and can check on you, and if Sis says something, she's pretty in tune, and
thank you for using GTA.
And, so, yeah, it's a blessing that we have sisters like this. And probably a pain in their ass at times, just worrying about us like we're one of their kids. And my sister just had her first kid, so congratulations, Amber. But we got a little Ellis, little baby, my first nephew. That's kind of cool. But, having your sister is just more outwardly sweet than my sister is, you know? But, I love your sister to death, and it's somewhat reassuring knowing she's out there. So there's like that safety net.
Well, she's also a like elementary school teacher with a psychology degree. So pointing out different psychological things, and with me and my brother both, you know, having different, but basically similar or the same issues that, you know, it's something that's been part of her life for a long time. So, you know, taking notice of these type of things.
I hadn't thought about the fact that as soon as you said that, she was like, when's the last time you haven't worked for any amount of time? Didn't even think about that. Was like, oh shit. Oh yeah. Like this is, I can't ever remember a time when you're right. That that's your part of your thing is, yeah, I might be a, when I'm not working, I can do whatever the fuck I want because I'm so hardworking and, you know, responsible with that shit. But let me point this out, too, about you and kind of just paint a little more vivid picture, like the way, in the same vein that you're talking about, like the laundry and shit, is that And I talked to Jen about you, and as I talk, you know, I talked about a lot of stuff, but to like better understand you, I'm like, no, he's like, she's like, oh, he's a bread man. I'm like, no, he makes good money. He's always been good about, like, you know, you had a business when the rest of us were like hanging on by a thread at methadone clinics, and you know what I mean. And you were always good with stuff like that. But you know, when she's impressed by that, I also have to say, yeah, but this is why. So she's kind of got like, why do you worry about him? And I'll say, well, he's also the guy that is using collected rainwater to shower with, not because he doesn't have the fucking money to pay for it, but because he doesn't check his goddamn mailbox but once every 6 months. And when he does, there's 15 notices, and the captain relies on them calling you as their last straw before they actually shut your shit off. And if he misses the call or they happen to like bypass that, now you got no fucking water, you know. And the same thing will happen with certain aspects of your homeowner. What's it called? Homeowner association?
Yeah.
Where there's certain upkeep that it's just so fucking mind blowing that you live in like a community where there's a homeowners association. It's just so out of character for like your lifestyle and your mentality and your outlook and shit. And there's definitely a comic value to the fact that you have to answer to these goons out there measuring with yardsticks, measuring the length of your grass and shit. And yours isn't a couple centimeters over. It's like feet over. But you know, there's this definite compartmentalization with you where work is handled. And I'm sure you probably thought about this. I'm wondering if the fact that as long as that's taken care of, then whatever you do when you're not on the clock is okay. And sometimes, you know, that can get kind of out of control.
That certainly is a factor. Once I've accomplished my main concern of the day, which is go to work and make money, you know, do your thing, be responsible, you know. After that, it's party time. It's, you know, it's fuck it. You know, I'll piss in the dryer, whatever. I'll do whatever, you know. I don't have to be responsible anymore. And that's probably not great. But I should point out that that's single bachelor me. Like, as soon as, if I had a roommate, even if it was a, now, it's easy for me to point out that when I have a girlfriend and they live with me, then it's, for whatever reason, like, this sounds so weird, but like, me by myself, I don't give a fuck. I'll sleep with 10 dogs on the floor. And well, you sleep with you, when you lay down with dogs, you wake up with fleas. I don't give a fuck. That's me. I like the dogs. But if I have somebody that's my teammate, which doesn't even have to be like a girlfriend, it could just be a roommate, right?
Charmin.
Right, let's say Charmin. Now I'm like, okay, I forgot to flush the toilet and I'm stinking up the house. I can't. That's an asshole move. By myself, I'm like, haha, I forgot to flush the toilet. So, it's kind of like you living in prison where you're like, no, asshole, you have to have deodorant. You can't be stinky. You have to, you gotta hold your farts in. You gotta, so when I'm around somebody else, I'm like, oh, no, now it's gotta be a more communal effort. Now I can't just pile the dishes up in the sink, or I can't forget to take the trash out because now I'm fucking them over.
There's a witness to the debauchery.
I don't think it's a witness thing. It's more like,
no, it's someone that it affects them too. There's someone else on the boat. Yeah.
Yeah. But when I'm by myself on the boat, it's like, who gives a fuck?
In the term, it's party time. And I know you didn't mean to be misleading, but party time for the viewers is euphemistic in the context. It's not, yeah, let's celebrate. It's like, oh, let's get down this QAnon fucking rabbit hole till I'm, throwing up again. And what happened? It's fucking midnight, and I'm waiting. You know what I mean? Like, it's not this fucking peppy, like, yeah, let's celebrate. It's like, yeah, let's get inebriated so I can sleep. And, you know, wake up and do it again the next day. Which, I mean, like, I don't get to see, like, change. I haven't noticed any change in, like, your I don't know, personality or your demeanor really recently, but it's good that Sis is trying to stay on top of that. And anytime you kind of, and I don't know how much it was ball breaking or what, but you kind of insinuated a little bit like, yeah, well, this asshole sometimes can be a fucking taskmaster with some of this shit that we're doing. And what a switch of fucking role reversal it is from being the other way around. All of a sudden, this prick gets some inspiration or fucking motivation, and now he wants to be a fucking taskmaster and blah, blah, blah. You know, about like maybe me, like, kind of like, hey, bud, like, let's go. Like, this is not just you. Like, we're doing this shit together. Get on task, and kind of bled over into like maybe insinuating, or maybe not even insinuating, but the idea could have been deduced that like I might have in certain situations been like, no, you don't have time to go do that. Like, we got to do this. Take this seriously or not. But whenever something comes up, like disc golf, you like to disc golf, or you're out kayaking, I'm so pro any of those living life things. Whenever you're doing those or going to do those, that I'm just fully into it. First of all, I like living vicariously through you, but I also like that part of you, the rope swing Jeremy and shit. I know how healthy that is for you, and that's what I like to see. So anytime you'll attest to this, when I call, and it's, this isn't toot my own horn. This is saying, like, you know, I there's certain a hierarchy of the, of wants for you, and the show doesn't trump like you doing meaningful stuff. Like, you know, even if that's finding a goddamn rope swing, and when you're playing, you know, frisbee golf with your buddies and shit, I'm like, oh, I'll let you go. I was just checking in. You good? Yeah, love you. Peace. And so when you brought up the vulture thing, I was like, fuck yeah, go do that. That's awesome, man. He's just, vulture's cool, and you know, you're a social butterfly. You know, you're which is why the whole situation of like, you know, I've never asked you this, but I'm sure you might run into people in your daily life, like Mary, or just people, you know, the lady at the Dollar General store where you stock stuff up for them, that might be completely surprised to learn that this affable guy, who's a little witty and funny and congenial and all this other stuff, goes home and drinks himself into oblivion fucking 7 days a week, right? Do you think people would be surprised by that, some of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, knowing that about you.
Yeah, I think they would. Like, this goes back to me and you as young adults. And, you know, it's, people don't understand the way other people, I mean, one of the things that, of course, we bonded over wit, but then there was like another deeper bond when you were struggling at something.
Darker.
Yeah. And you were going through some dark shit, and I had to give you the, hey bro, you know, I get it. You know,
me
you
too.
Ain't the only one that's got demons. Like, I know what the fuck you're going through. And I seen, like, yeah, the light click over your head, like, what the fuck? I didn't know Jeremy was, what? Hey, this guy's, you know, holding court wherever we go. He's, you know, he fits in. He's, you know, but, yeah. It is a little bit weird.
Not just that. I think that was important for me to hear. And I obviously wouldn't wish that on anyone, especially you. But, and this is the kind of, we touched on some shit earlier when we were talking. I don't know where we used it or if we used it. But one of the things that people will, like, reach out to me and say, you know, like, this shit's helping me. But, you know, one of the things has to do with both addiction and depression from both of our perspectives, though, and the shit we're going through. And not only was I, like, surprised, but, I've said this to you before. I used to, even well before this, like, the last couple of times we talked, you know, we would sporadically talk every, I don't know, year or so before I got locked up. Maybe a couple of years it would go between, but I'd get drunk and then feel comfortable, like, expressing myself to you and say, like, I just fucking freeze and I'm shivering out here. But I would say shit like, and I completely mean this, not only was I surprised, like, looked up to you. Like, you were, like, the only guy that I felt, like, comfortable being like, yeah, I look up to him. I got no problem being like, that's my big homie. You know what I mean? And just everything, and not just the responsibility part, but I'm like, he's smart and he's funny, and just like, I can look up to him and be fine. And you're really the only one that I've ever had like that for a big chunk of my life. And so to kind of like go from that growing up, because I was closer friends with your brother, we were closer in age, and would be like, you know, we were obviously more distant in age, and we weren't in the same peer group, but to find out, like, oh, this guy's fucked in my head too, it was both disconcerting, you know, like, oh shit, what does that mean? But also, like, okay, like, if it can happen to him. And there's a thing that comes with that makes you wonder. Like, some of the happiest people, at least outwardly in my life, or that I've known, are, they don't think about anything deep. They don't need to. They're just chipper, like, cheery people. And I envy them in a way. But then there's also times when I'm like, well, I don't know. There's just something. There can't be a it has to be a correlation. I mean, you were one of the people I could talk to about certain deeper things. And that were both fucked in the head. No?
When you say fucked in the head, you mean super handsome?
Sure. I mean, that's a prime example of being fucked in the head. The fact that that's what you took from that. Yay! So we were just kind of, I know you don't, I kind of have to prod the captain to do something that focuses more on him, because he's such a fucking humble fellow who with an ego that's fucking a healthy ego, that you don't really need it to be about you. And so when I want to make it about you, and the viewers love it, sometimes you're like reluctant and shit. And I kind of, like, hey, what's up? Let's get an update on the captain. And
a lot of people,
you know, I don't
refer
think
to me as Freddie Bonomi. Bonomi? Is that
Bonomi?
Yeah. So,
hey, well, I mean, if they refer to you as that, you might want to get it right. So this wasn't supposed to be like some bummer downer one. It was just, hey, let's fucking chop it up and see where the captain's at lately. I know the viewers wonder about that shit. I get a lot of messages that are like, you know, they'll fucking give little shouts about the part they like about the show, but then also saying, yeah, I got a little captain in me, you know. I've had a lot of that. A lot of people that write me that like really relate to some of the shit you do as a coping mechanism, or what your life looks like after work.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Yay, an annoyingly depressing Jeremy Schnurk.
Yeah, well, annoyingly depressing is going to, I have something, I think if they don't shut down Yard, I think we got time for one more phone call, and I'd like to pivot a little bit. I know you're in charge, so
yeah.
If that's okay with you, I have one last topic I'd like to bring up that involves the show, and it, it involves us.
I will allow.
Okay.
I will allow.
That sounds great.
And I don't think we haven't quite hit, we went to a really dark part of the sea, kind of, but we haven't beached ourselves or anything. I'm really loose with the nautical terms. Don't really understand them. Just throwing them around and hopefully they make some sort of sense. All right, give me a sec.
Yeah, we'll stay on even keel.
Thank you for using GT.
Before we get underway, let me just say this wasn't really, this was us shooting the shit. This wasn't really supposed to be, necessarily, it wasn't not supposed to be an episode, but it wasn't designed. We were just like, let's chop it up and see if anything pops up, because we both firmly threw a massive turd against the wall with the stuff earlier today, and my brain was a little scrambled coming off the old scabies quarantine stuff. So I nagged you into letting me give me the wheel for a second. So whatever, I guess that's some sort of fucking cop out or disclaimer. But what did you have? What was the pivot about?
Well, so it's come to my attention that, you know, if somebody has never clicked on our podcast and or, you know, is not a normal viewer, because we've been doing decent lately, you know, gaining viewership and stuff. And I'm like, you know what we should do? I should make a trailer. I should make like a 2-minute trailer and just pick a whole bunch of tiny little clips from the show. And then... And then I'll put that at the very beginning, and then so that when people listen to the first episode, because I don't know if you remember this, but the first few episodes, there was no Captain Freddy, there was no ship references, or there was no that Jeremy's in charge. It was pretty much a Captain Freddy in full fuck it mode. Okay, yeah, my buddy's in prison and he wants to record this, so hey, my man's in prison, I'll record it with him. Okay. Oh, he wants to produce, all I gotta do is ship it to his mom and she'll, get the levels right and then put it on. So, okay, I don't give a fuck, I'll do it, whatever. But then somewhere around like episode 3 or 4, I think episode 4 is where I kind of step into it, and I don't mean a pile of warm dog shit, although maybe I do. I kind of mean like I step into the role of, oh, okay, I'm going to, and you and I had the whole conversation of, hey, since I'm the one that's locked up, you should be interviewing me, and we should, and so, you know, we had like behind the scenes type of a, I don't want to say intervention.
The dynamic.
Yeah, of how we could set this up a little bit better. And we still do that type of stuff. And I think that's great. So I'm thoroughly convinced that I need to put out some sort of episode zero.
Love this idea.
Yeah, episode zero, where maybe I do have a bunch of clips, but instead of just making it a 2-minute trailer, why don't I make it like a 40 or 50 minute episode where if you've never
greatest
listened
hit.
Before. Yeah, almost like a greatest hits type thing. Exactly. Where you get to, it'll be titillating. Like, oh, who's this Joe guy that once decided he thought it would be a good idea to fuck a thing of noodles? Or, you know, who's Neck? Or what's this Blaze guy? Or, oh, here's, oh, why is Bobby crying? Or, you know, all the.
Oh, well, that never happened.
you know, just to show that, hey, our show covers. This. Here's
a trailer is perfect example for that, and it's just perfect. I'm sorry, I just get excited when you brought this up the other day. I was just so pumped by it because there is a thing like where you're worried about someone listening and going, "What the fuck is this choppy ass shit?" And you want to almost be like, "Just stick with us. It gets better."
Right, because first few episodes, we don't have our feet under us yet. We don't have full sails. We don't have. You know, we're fucking off. We don't know what to, and I didn't understand my position. I didn't even have it yet. We didn't even develop it. We were still figuring it all out. So my question to you
is, who's going to listen to this? I'm sorry.
That's a fair point. Like, hey, nobody's going to listen to this shit anyway, so who gives a fuck? By the way, Vietnam is now on the list of countries with a listener. I thought that was interesting. Where the fuck is episode 2?
I don't know what that means.
I mean, when I go to Anchor and I try to find episode 2, I can't find it. So you tell me, where the fuck is episode 2?
I don't know. I think Mama C took it off.
Well, because out of her own free will?
No. Because I believe I said it had low ratings and we were worried about this exact thing happening.
Not true.
All right. Well, whatever. That's the thing. And I was like... I was like, well, you know, now that people are introduced, maybe, like, let's get them to the decent shit a little bit faster, because the timing of the two-part episode of Superfan was kind of like, it just fucked up the rhythm. So I told her to do that. I told her to do that.
You and I discussed it, and we were like, that's fucked up. If somebody wants to go... they just heard about the show, so they're going to go listen to episode 1, and then they go into episode 2, and then they find out that Captain Freddy is in the Dirty Max falling asleep because he's too drunk and high. Yeah, maybe we shouldn't have people listening to that. And I say we should absolutely put episode 2 back in the rhythm. And if you want to, we can. I don't think it would matter, but I think... we absolutely should, if there is a, you know, an episode 0 that explains us a little bit better.
Oh, yeah.
But
even,
I went back and listened. I think I'm up to, like, episode 7, just re-listening to old shit so I know where to pull, you know, material from, content from,
the
trailer.
Yeah.
But I don't think episode 2 helps paint the story arc far better or far more than what you think. Like, there's quality in episode 2. It's not a lot of it, but it's got a lot of, like, Superfan Britney questions that, you know, ask what the normal person would want to ask. And then it's got some fuck around, some Joey-style fuck around.
Humor tone.
Out of me. And also a very listless ship, because there is no ship. I, at that point, I'm not even calling myself Freddy. There's not even, you know...
We're on interviews.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that really helps paint the story better. And then by the time you get up to number 4 or 5, or annoyingly positive is 6, I think 7 is pizza, corn, and lettuce, or you know, prison food. that's when we start hitting a little bit of a different stride. That, but I think if you don't see 1, 2, and 3, and if you'll remember, I edited, I don't know if you remember this, but I edited 3, and then it had like, and you were kind of vaguely talking about, you know, organization type stuff, or maybe you had, you were in charge of the yard, or blah, blah, blah. And I felt like it was important to like put a little postscript at the end, and was like, holy shit, I think we really talked about some serious stuff. We really laid it down here, and, you know, and this is going to be big. I'm sure at some point I'll make fun of this for me thinking it was a big deal. But I totally do think it is funny that I would, that, you know, you and I thought we needed a lawyer because we were going to get censored or whatever. Like, yeah, like that's a serious part of our story arc, and I don't think we should get rid of episode 2 because of that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's why I got so excited about this, is that it provides the opportunity to keep the full scope without having our cake and eating it too. And it also gets people at the beginning. And you, the way you set up intros, you can even... Anyways, it's a great idea. And you want to talk about how, why this is such, also such a perfect idea on so many levels, is that we get to incorporate one of our favorite aspects of this, is the connection and the interaction with the viewers. And that we immediately started bandying about the idea of, well, so we don't, not that you're not going to do it, but so that we don't have to, you don't have to sit through and listen to every second, maybe do like a, so I don't know, something on Twitter of top 3 favorite moments of episodes and shit like that, you know?
Yeah, that would be beneficial. That would be beneficial.
They just closed the arm.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. Right. God damn it.
Well, maybe finish this one up on your own. If not, I might hit you up later. Anyways, I gotta go. I love you guys. This is part of the whole picture too. Getting shoved off the fucking phone. Yeah, that's right. We are gone. Or at least I am.
To learn more about Bobby and prison reform, go to notesfromthepen.com.
Thank you for using GTL. The Pen production.
Yeah, it's official. We gone.